This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We are pleased to welcome Mark Hescher, the national radio voice of the NBA on ESPN Radio, and has the privilege of being inside the bubble. After 4 months, Mark, we waited 4 months. We're finally underway in Orlando. What are your overall impressions of the games, the bubble, no fans, the whole thing?
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed, Amy. We'll see if it holds up to the end. I think it will. You know, medically, they've had a couple of rounds of testing so far and been very fortunate to have zero positive tests. To me, it's always been about the mental part of it, to be away, not only just be away from home for 3 months, but, you know, to be in one spot and be away from your family. I know family will be able to come here eventually, you know, after the first round or so, but it seems like it's going to be a big mental grind. I'm very impressed with what I've seen from the 2 weeks leading up and the first day of the seeding games. The NBA has spent a lot of money to make this, you know, top-notch. And so far, so good on day one of the restart.
It definitely feels like, on TV anyway, there is an intensity to it. Regardless of no fans in the stands, this weird atmosphere, neutral site, no home court advantage. And yet, from what I could see on TV with the players, they seem to ramp up the intensity.
They really did, and I think they know, you know, guys on the bench know they got to, you know, bring some energy for the guys on the floor. I thought it was cool that Damian Lillard and Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, Carmelo Anthony, to name a few, maybe they just wanted to get out of their room, but I think they also wanted to see Lakers Clippers and see some of their pals, and I'm sure they couldn't help but even cheer as well, you know, when you see a really good play. And I don't know if the, you know, the piped-in crowd is doing anything for them energy-wise, but I do think teammates from the bench and also just being a self-starter, and the Lakers showed that in the first quarter and the Clippers did not. And I know it wasn't a vintage Clippers team. You know, they're still dealing with guys that are away from the bubble or in quarantine right now. But I thought, you know, considering how this rivalry has really heated up this year with all the acquisitions, I thought what we saw in Los Angeles the first three times we broadcast this series, what we saw today, I thought was a reasonable facsimile. I thought those guys pretty much were able to bring their own energy and intensity, and if they end up meeting in the Western Conference Finals this year here in Orlando with no fans, I think it'll be ratcheted up even more somehow.
As you say, the Lakers with a 35-point burst in the first quarter. And though they did trail later on, they were able to finish strong as well. Mark Hescher, the national NBA voice on ESPN Radio, inside the bubble, finished calling a 2-point win by the Lakers over the Clippers as they get their 50th victory on the season, despite the fact that there were 20 weeks since their last one. So what was your perspective in Orlando? Where is your perch?
We are about 70 feet off the floor. It's I'd never been at the arena. I've called a college basketball tournament at the HP Pavilion, which is down the road and one of the three sites they're playing at. And they built a platform about 70 feet up, and it's a large plexiglass. And they built enough booths to house the TNT broadcasters who were there tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And the ESPN broadcasters who will be there tomorrow. And, you know, the ESPN guys have their own spot. Turner has their own, so they don't have to clean. And, you know, they could set it up the way they want to. And then there's a table behind them. And we've got about I don't know, 15, 20 feet for the four of us to spread out. So I have to look through plexiglass, which is about 20 feet in front of me.
Okay.
And there's a couple of weird angles where you're looking at the floor, but I do have a program monitor and a stat monitor, and I was pleasantly surprised. I've called games, obviously, you know, without any barrier for many years. I've called games off monitor when it's been necessary, you know, it was too far to travel, whatever, and that has its own set of challenges. So I was expecting it to be a little more difficult, and I thought for night one, I was happy with it. We'll find some ways to tweak some things. But overall, it's a really cool setup, I think, even for the media. I ran into Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers.
Wow.
He's even made his way in, and there's a little perch they'd set up on either side. I believe that would be, you know, down the road if ESPN had a studio show on one side, Turner would have their studio show on the other side, and the commissioner, Adam Silver, Steve Ballmer, some other folks were taking the game in from that side. So it's eerie, I guess would be a good word. Obviously, we're in unprecedented times, you know, as a country, as a world, and from a sports perspective, too. And so it all just kind of added up tonight. And I guess we always talk about a new normal. We'll be used to this in about a week or two, and it'll just be clocking in for work.
What did it sound like to you inside the arena?
Well, the funny thing is, and you'd appreciate this, you know, from a radio side, when you put your headphones on and you hear the sneakers squeaking and the virtual fans cheering, sometimes you forget that you're in a fanless arena. Mm-hmm. And it actually sounded pretty authentic. And then, you know, the broadcast ends and I take my headphones off and I'm talking at the same volume and I realize, why am I shouting? It's very quiet here. So it's odd. It's very, I don't know how to explain it except to say, you know, there's nobody there, but when the headphones are on, you feel like you're one of, I don't want to say 20,000, but that you, there's a lot of people there, and it's a very, very strange feeling.
Interestingly enough, I'm glad you said that, because I was listening to the fourth quarter that you did with John Barry on ESPN Radio, and when you were calling the end, the putback by LeBron James, and then, of course, the last second missed attempt by Paul George, you guys were amped up. Like, you, I wouldn't say you were yelling, but you were using extra volume because the noise behind you was so loud. I actually thought, wow, they have got this crowd noise piped in so loud that the broadcasters have to talk over it. I mean, does it really feel like that when you're doing the game?
I would love to know. I say yes, yes. It felt as normal as, you know, as anything I've done. I mean, there's been times where I can't hear myself over the crowd, and it certainly wasn't that. I probably should give credit to our engineer, Al Rosenberg, who I'm sure had it set up. So he's a great guy mixing stuff, a great sound engineer. And I didn't ask him before the game. A lot of times I'll ask him what I like, what I don't like, a little more of this, a little less of this. And I thought maybe it's possible that he was pumping in, you know, a little bit extra, and maybe that's how it came across. And I actually sent a few texts to some of my colleagues just to see how it sounded. So I'm glad to hear you thought the same thing, because I think that's the effect we were going for. I don't know if that's the exact effect that they're hearing on the floor or if you happen to be in the crowd watching it. I have a feeling it was. Mm. And I think it was very authentic, and it made it easier as a broadcaster, too, because there's nothing worse than trying to call, you know, a sports event that has volume and it sounds like you're on the golf course and you're trying to, you know, call the winning putt from the 18th, green. So it was nice to be able to, you know, make it sound like there was somewhat of a crowd there. And I hope it was for the players as well, because I know the energy that I need as a broadcaster, I'm sure they need as well as a player to some degree, and hopefully they got that as well.
In other words, you don't want them hearing what you have to say. You would prefer there be some noise to cover that.
I'm wondering if the plexiglass is really there so that they don't have to hear us, even though I'm sure it's there for you know, medical purposes, but it's serving a dual purpose.
Well, I could hear everything that the referee was saying at the end. So Scott Foster was mic'd up. He was making a couple calls. There were a couple of replays. I heard everything he said over the microphone and over your broadcast.
I wish they would do that next year or the year after, whenever we get back to games that are in arenas with fans. I like that. I would love that for baseball too. When, you know, it's confusing when you have, you know, an official, you know, dealing with a critical call and there's, you know, some kind of communication going on, whether it's a central office, and you are left to almost guess a little bit. So now he's doing that for a reason, because the administrative crew, the stats crew, is all in plexiglass. I kind of said during the broadcast it felt like, you know, going up to the teller at a bank and you have to talk through that communications device,
right?
A squawk box or whatever you want to call it. And I don't know if it was by design. It is by design because of how it's set up, but maybe it's one of those deals where they say, you know what, this might not be bad moving forward. I thought it's a great device. It takes all the guessing out, you know, from a broadcasting standpoint, and we just listen to, you know, the lead official, you know, kind of carry us through exactly what they want to do and exactly how they remedy the situations.
Mark Hestisher just finished up Clippers-Lakers, the NBA on ESPN Radio. He's in the bubble in Orlando, so actually on site, not remote. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. How rusty did these teams look to you?
Well, I was surprised that the Lakers looked as good as they did in the beginning. I'll credit rust for the Clippers, but, you know, they're not whole. You know, they only brought 15. You can bring 17. And they were missing five guys at one point during the scrimmage, you know, era. So they only had 10 guys going. So they seem a little behind. We talked to both head coaches earlier in the day, and Frank Vogel told us that he was pleasantly surprised at the shape that his guys arrived in when they started, you know, working out as a team for the first time. And then Doc Rivers was, you know, telling us these guys aren't in game shape yet. I'm hoping that they will be in shape by the time we get through the eight seeding games and then get on to the first round of the playoffs. So I was not surprised at how good the Lakers looked early. I was more surprised that their, you know, whatever they were doing right in the first quarter disappeared for about two quarters of action. And then the Clippers started to get in a little groove. Paul George, if I'm going to single out one guy, looks great. I mean, he came into this season, which feels like 8 years ago, you know, back in October, coming off double shoulder surgery and was not 100% at any point during, you know, the 141 days that we did get in during the regular season. And so this four plus month layoff has afforded him to get completely healthy. He looked great. And so him and Kawhi Leonard, you know, together, when they get up to speed, and then Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams, when they get onto this team, makes it a very, very scary group, you know, as we head into the postseason. And I hate to say it, into October. Feels like a baseball reference, but into October.
Odd. Did you count the 141 days, or did someone do that for you?
I believe I saw that in one of the ESPN research packets, so I can't take credit for that.
I think people want to know how big this campus area is. I know the NBA would prefer we call it a campus, not a bubble, though bubble seems catchy. But how much room is there for these guys to roam, for you guys to roam? Because I know you're not supposed to have any contact with the players directly. But how large of a campus are we talking about in Orlando?
It's huge. I mean, just the athletic center is huge. And those guys are only, you know, being bused there. They're not, you know, really in the surrounding area. The resort hotels are probably 9 to 10 minutes away by bus. And then the resort itself, there's three of them for the 22 teams. The one that the Lakers and the Clippers are in was just built in 2019 and
wow,
is among the, you know, nicest luxury towers that they have here. I'm not in the same bubble as them, so I don't get to go over to see their the situation in their rooms, but I was watching, I think it was on The Jump today on ESPN. They had a camera in there, and just to see the recreation room with all kinds of video games and ping pong tables. And if anyone's not been to Disney, I mean, you know, it's just hundreds, it might even be thousands of acres.
Mammoth.
And yeah, and there's all kinds of lakes, and you can take boats, and you can go fishing. There's golf courses galore, and you know, there's certain golf courses that you're allowed to play. There's a golf course that we're allowed to play here at our hotel. And so it doesn't feel as restrictive. And I thought, you know, Frank Vogel said something interesting to us today. He goes, you know, when I shut it down and go to the room after dinner, he goes, I put on FaceTime to my family, and it kind of feels like I'm at home. You know, I'm talking to the kids, I'm talking to my wife, and
aww,
I'm on it for hours. Now, I haven't been here as long as he has been here, so I might have to try that. But I just thought it's interesting how they're kind of adapting into the situation that's here, making the best of it. And it's, I'd say it's hardly a prison. You've got plenty of things to do, and even roaming, you know, the hotel. I'm still trying to figure out our hotel here. You know, you might not be able to hang out with people, and you always have to have your mask on. But it's not a bad setup at all. It's pretty remarkable. Whoever, and I know it's a lot of people, it's probably scores of people, had to do all the work
right.
on figuring all this out. I can't imagine all the details that had to be checked off to make this all work.
Plus the $150 million. Let's not forget about that.
That's true. It's bankrolled very well.
Yes. Mark Kestisher with us from Orlando here on CBS Sports Radio. When you talk to the coaches, and I know you did that while you're doing it via Zoom or actually on the phone, do you get the sense that they have adjusted, that this is just the new normal, quote unquote, and they are ready to go like this is any other playoff run?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, for day one, yes, because I asked that direct question to Doc Rivers. I said, what's the difference between how you're preparing for this game and how you would prepare for any road game? He goes, it's exactly the same. Now, I know they're you know, getting dressed at the hotel and they're not showering at the arena. But beyond that, he said, it's pretty much like a road game. The NBA has set it up. So whatever, you know, the standards are on the road, they've got that here. Obviously, they can't, you know, be free and go do whatever they want and, you know, go to restaurants or clubs or whatever.
Magic City. Magic City. That was it.
That's right. Yes, yes. He can't do that, as we found out. But I was surprised to hear that, you know, everyone seems to be adapting well. Now, again, it's 3 weeks, and the teams that are going to go deep in this, you know, restart and finish is going to be a long time. So, you know, that remains to be seen. I have no doubt that they'll be able to pull it off. But again, it's early. It's the last day of July, and we got the whole month of August, the whole month of September. And if it goes seven games, we're talking October 13th. So it's going to be physical, and it might even be more mental.
Before I let you go, Mark, it kind of dawned on me as I was watching and then listening to your broadcast a little bit, the history of this moment. Let's hope we never see anything like this again. Now, I suppose there is a chance that the next NBA season would have to start in a bubble, but did that momentous or like the occasion itself dawn on you as you get ready to do a game and you're inside this historic bubble?
You know, I have to say that a lot of people reminded me of it leading into it, and maybe it's just my mechanism to not get caught up and psych myself out maybe. And so a lot of times, and I would say this is, you know, in my career that, you know, I've been very fortunate to do some really cool things, but it isn't until I look back on it later on that I realize, like, wow, do you have any idea that you got to be a part of, you know, X, Y, and Z? And I think it might just be a coping mechanism because I would probably get too hyped up and too amped up and, or even, you know, try to get too flowery with the words. So I try to grasp the moment, but I'm not sure I'm really understanding, you know, just what's happening or, you know, how big it's going to be from so many efforts to finish a basketball season, you know, in Orlando, from the social aspect of what the players and coaches and the league are trying to get across. So it's, but yes, it's been mentioned to me many times, you know, like, do you realize how big this moment might be in history? And I'm like, yeah, I'm trying not to think about it right now, but it is pretty cool. And I think eventually, you're right, we may end up starting the season next year in a series of bubbles. So it might not be, you know, the once in a lifetime, but it kind of feels like it is.
It definitely does.
I hope.
It does. It feels like this is a 2020 or a year we may never see again. And as much as I think most of us will be fine bidding farewell to it, at the same time, there are these moments, these historical moments that I don't want to forget either because of the effort that went into it, especially when you think about something as huge as getting the NBA playoffs accomplished or the NHL playoffs accomplished. So it's kind of cool that you're our insider from Orlando. And if you want to see the photo, you can check out Mark's Twitter account at Mark Kestisher, M-A-R-C. Just finished calling Lakers Clippers from inside the bubble. Pretty cool view, even if it is through plexiglass, Mark. I hope that you are safe, but it's great to talk to you. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Great talking with you, too. I'll try to be better on the Twitter and put up some more pictures, because when you said the picture, I'm like, oh, singular. I think there was something that was said between the lines there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.